I'm your host, Brad Kolodner, today in studio with a very special guest, my pal, Louise Bicken, fiddle and composer, originally out of the Orkney Islands of Scotland, and here today in my Baltimore living room to play some music for you. Her new album, The Lost Summer, is out now on Ada Europa Records. She's joined today by Ethan Satiouan on mandolin, Connor Hearn on guitar, and Brendan Hearn on cello. Take it away.
One, two.
Groovy music from Louise Bicken here live in studio. I'm your host, Brad Kolodner, and it's such a treat to have you here, Louise. Thanks for making some time to play some music for us.
Thanks for having me in. And yeah, so it's really a delight to be here.
Out there in radio world might be familiar with these musicians who are joining us today. There are so many different projects represented from these awesomely talented musicians. We have, of course, Louise on fiddle, also a member of the band Corner House. Ethan Satiouan has been featured on the program many times through his own solo recordings and also with Corner House, and Connor Hearn on guitar, member of the band Rakish, and Brendan Hearn of Hemlock and Hickory. We are fans of all of those projects, and it is great to be here today, Louise, to celebrate your new record, The Lost Summer. And tell us about that tune you just played for us.
That one was called Coldstream, and I wrote that for Uncle Sid, who lives on the mainland of Scotland near Aberdeen, and the name of the farm is Coldstream. So I wrote that for my uncle and all my cousins over there in Aberdeenshire.
When you think of your Uncle Sid, what comes to mind?
Well, Sid plays music, and so growing up, whenever we went to visit, it was, you know, always really fun to bring instruments along and get to play with him. We didn't you know, see him all that much growing up, and so it was always a delight whenever we got to go and see Uncle Sid and play some music together. Still a delight these days as well. So,
what does he think of the tune?
I hope he likes it. I haven't asked him explicitly yet.
Here with Louise Bicken live in studio, and we've got lots of music on the way. But let's run it back a little. You mentioned that you grew up with some music. You grew up in the Orkney Islands of Scotland. Take us there for a moment. When you picture your home region, what do you see?
Rolling hills, beautiful beaches, a lot of great music and art, and just it's a really beautiful landscape, Orkney, and a really great place to have grown up and a great way of life. And I'm really lucky. I learned the fiddle from a pretty young age, and I remember hearing kids in the playground getting the fiddle out and just thinking like that looked so much fun. So I was really lucky to be able to learn from pretty young.
Is that your earliest musical memory out on the playground?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of them. But I also just came back from Orkney Folk Festival, and that was also a huge part of my musical sort of upbringing as well. I remember sitting in the farewell concert, which is where every artist got their, you know, chance to play, and just having that like butterflies on my tummy feeling like I want to get up there and do what they're doing, and it looks like so much fun. And there was a lot of music in the house growing up. My parents, you know, I come from a musical background on both sides of my family. My mum played folk music and Spanish and classical guitar growing up and sang. My dad doesn't play, but his family all do, and he's always been a music appreciator, so grew up listening to a lot of folk and trad when I was younger.
And how does it feel to go back there, having now lived in the US for a while? What's that relationship like now with your home country, now that you've spent some time away?
It was a long time since the last I was home for the festival. And there were also 3 years or more that I wasn't able to go home, thanks to pandemic and visa rules. So it's been the last year and a half. It's been so nice just kind of being back and reconnecting with that community. I got to get involved in a big old Orkney like celebration of a character, musical character that we sadly lost recently, and it was just a joy to be around all these people that I'd kind of grown up knowing and play music with them again. So yeah, just kind of reconnecting has been very special the last year or so. So it's good.
Chatting with Louise Bicken here live in studio. Let's get back to the music. What would you like to play for us next?
Maybe we'll do the title track from this new album. It's called The Lost Summer. And it's actually kind of about that those 3 years that I was stuck missing my family. I wrote that in 2020 in the summer and was feeling really miserable not to be in Orkney with all my siblings and parents hanging out on the farm during the pandemic there. But really, it ended up being a pretty great summer, all told and given what we were all going through in 2020. So somewhat ironic, but this is The Lost Summer.
All right, that's Louise Bicken here on the radio, live in studio, performing the original The Lost Summer. It's the title track of the new album from Louise. My goodness, that was rocking. It's so fun to have you here in studio. And you were talking about the lost summer, that summer of 2020 that we all remember. And take us back to that time for a bit. And I know we don't need to relive that time, but what opportunities did that time open up for you musically when you didn't have gigs and there mm-hmm. weren't travels and you couldn't go back home? Mm-hmm. Take us into that time. And what was your musical mind like in that time?
I mean, honestly, for me, the first little while, especially being really locked down and stuff, I was not very inspired. I was really grateful for all of the online things that we did manage to do, and there was a lot of things going on. You know, something great called Tune Supply that I was a part of, that we were doing some live concerts online, and also, you know, people could buy a tune and have it sent to a friend as a sweet little kind of, I'm thinking of you. And that was really fun to be a part of. And then moving into like the summer of 2020, when things did open up a little bit further, I managed to do this incredible road trip that I don't know when else I would have been able to do, like take off, you know, a couple of months and go and just set off around the country and see all these incredible places and bring my fiddle and play in beautiful national parks and national forests and camp out of a car. And that was pretty special. I created a lot of videos for that. I have this little kind of fun side project called Fiddle Cam, where I have a GoPro that looks down the neck of the fiddle as I play tunes in nice places. And I actually made a video for one of the tracks on the album, just in all of these national parks and forests and everywhere that I managed to see in 2020. So that was pretty special. Nice thing that happened in that summer anyway.
When you're in those beautiful natural landscapes, do you gravitate towards writing new material?
I definitely feel like, yeah, I feel maybe not necessarily right in the moment, but I feel the inspiration after being in these places. And I think that was the same of growing up in a place like Orkney. I'm always, you know, I do photography as well, and so my eyes often drawn to these beautiful landscapes, and I find inspiration and all these beautiful places that I visit, and it definitely gives me the creative energy that I need to be in these places.
One of my favorite things about records, and it's lost sometimes now with all this digital music, mm-hmm. but the design that goes into the package, the art mm-hmm. on the cover and throughout the project, for those out in radio world who can't see right now, mm-hmm. Which is everybody, can you describe what the cover of the album is a picture of? It's a really beautiful landscape. Can you describe that for us?
Yeah, it's an old pier back home on my parents' farm that was actually really quite important site during both World War One and Two. And there's an old crane on the end of it that they used to lift things off of ships and things. And I used that same view on my first record, Out of My Own Light. And this time I've got the same view, but with one image that I shot on colour film and one that I shot on a really old camera that belonged to my granddad on black and white film, and I kind of did a collage of the two, and it is on the back of the cover there as well.
When did you take the photo?
I think actually one I took sometime before the pandemic, must have been like 2019, when I was home on this old Agafold camera of my granddad's, and then the color one was last year sometime while I was enjoying being home for the first time in 3 years. So yeah, they were taken a few years apart.
Here with Louise Bicken, celebrating the release of the record of The Lost Summer. Also in studio, Connor Hearn on guitar, Brendan Hearn on cello, brothers, and Ethan Satiawan playing a very funny looking mandolin. Ethan, can you tell us about this instrument that you're playing? It basically looks like a very large mandolin or a tiny guitar. Can you describe it for those out in radio world?
Yeah, it's one of these octave mandolin things that got really popular here following the playing of great musicians like Sarah Jarosz and Tim O'Brien. It's basically a mandolin, but an octave lower. And this one that I have here is built by the company Northfield Mandolins. And it's kind of built off of model after archtop guitars that Gibson was making back in the 20s, so it's kind of a small guitar body, but with 8 strings and tuned like a mandolin.
And what about the sound of that instrument draws you to it?
Well, for me, I primarily played the regular mandolin, which is annoyingly high, of course. And so just having something that gets down into sort of the guitar range is really fun for me to play. I can just really fight with both Brendan and Connor about what bass lines should be played with this instrument in my hands.
Usually you're in your own world.
Usually
you don't have to worry about anybody else.
Usually they don't care what I'm doing, but right. with this, right. you know, they have to listen.
It was really fun at the beginning of that track. You did some cool slides up and down the neck and just geek out a little. Can you describe what you were doing there and what inspired that? That was a really cool texture.
Yeah, I guess like I'm trying to slide from this fret, the fifth of the chord, up to the root of the chord, and kind of coupling that with a rhythm, with kind of this 3-3-2 sort of bass of all groove. And just kind of, yeah, playing with that slide as well as like sort of this little syncopation, yeah, setting up the tune.
I can tell with this music, with this configuration and with the other artists on the record, that there's a lot of exploration of different textures and ways of approaching traditional music while writing new material. And Louise, perhaps can you talk a little bit about how you go about arranging and thinking about the different sonic atmospheres you can create mm-hmm. with this traditionally rooted music?
Yeah, I mean, these guys are have been a huge part in that. I often will come with a tune, and Ethan produced this album as well, and so had a lot of great ideas, and we just kind of get together and play around. And I think that's the beauty of working with musicians, like, you love their musicianship and respect their creativity, being able to bring their creative voices to it. So yeah, the guys all had some really great ideas, and we just take a tune and kind of play around with the ideas for it for a while. So yeah, it's been a group effort.
What do you have next for us?
Shall we do Adam and Eric's, I think, maybe?
Yeah.
This is one that I wrote actually quite a while ago. I was a teenager when I wrote this tune for my good friends, Adam and Erica, for the occasion of their wedding. I got to play them down the aisle with this. And it actually kind of started out life as a more of a faster reel. And I was playing this one evening with my friends Jennifer Austin, who's a piano player, and Rachel Sermani, who's a brilliant singer-songwriter, both from Scotland. We'd drank a few red wines, and it was late evening in the studio, and it was just the recording was just on, and one of Rachel's lovely songs, I think it was called the Ferry Boat Man, kind of gave way into this tune of mine, but much slowed down and a little more like low-key, yeah, and then from there it turned into a Strass Bay, a low-key slow Strass Bay. So yeah, this is Adam and Eric's, but a little different from its original form.
Thank you. Live in studio, that's Louise Bicken with a tune called Adam and Eric's. It's from the new album, The Lost Summer. And Louise, if you can, take us back to the wedding of Adam and Eric. And Erica, did you write that tune for the occasion?
I think I did. It was so long ago now. I feel like their kid just turned like 18 not long ago. So I guess like kind of aging myself too. But yeah, I do remember having a really fun time at that wedding. They had the chap that taught me fiddle, Douglas Montgomery, was the main sort of band for the evening part of the wedding, and I remember having a great time playing with Douglas and co. And Orkney weddings have this pretty cool tradition called the cog, which is handmade wooden, kind of like a bucket almost, with two big handles, and generally it's filled with something similar to a mulled wine, but with everything thrown in, ale, all this, you know, whiskey, all this stuff. And it's like sort of like a very alcoholic thing that's served hot from the cog. And I remember the cog being passed around the stage as we were playing and having a drink out of that. Lots of fun and merriment. Yeah, it was a good wedding.
Sure sounds like it. Wow.
Well, I remember of it.
Here with Louise Bicken, live in studio. I'm your host, Brad Collider. We've got time for a couple more tunes. And on the record, there's lots of original music. And I'm curious about how you went about compiling material for this record. There are 10 tracks, some medleys in there as well. Was it compiled over the course of many years? Did you have a specific vision for what specifically made its way onto the record?
Actually, no. I mean, yeah, it was kind of like over a period of time. It also was, I put out my first album in, I think it was early 2016, having recorded it in 2015 and started the project in 2013. And it was a very long, involved kind of project with this whole story about my granny and this journey that she had to Canada as a young woman in 1950 with two men to decide between for, you know, two marriage proposals. And there was a whole photography and video element to it, and a lot of, you know, quotes and things from my cousins in Canada and my granny's diaries. And it was a big project and very, you know, I was obviously very emotionally attached to this project and spent a lot of time working on it. And so it's beyond 10 years since I first started working on that. And really, I was sort of just kind of feeling like it's time to record something new and make something new, but feeling like, oh, what can I possibly do to follow a project like that, of that kind of depth? And so I was just kind of feeling like, oh, what on earth can I do? But then realized, like, why does it need to be another big project? And just grab a whole bunch of my favorite fiddle tunes, write a few things, and just, you know, put together a record of just stuff that feels really fun to play. And so that's what it ended up being. I realized that I didn't need to overthink it as I was for so long, and that's kind of what made the gap between the two so long. So yeah, it's just really a collection of tunes, some really old ones. There's like Adam and Eric's and a tune I wrote for my great aunt Rena that I wrote as a teenager, and so they've been kicking around for a while, and it was fun to take older tunes that I'd written and like kind of reimagine them, and then a bunch of fiddle tunes by friends or that friends had introduced me to, and then some newer things. So it's just kind of a collection of stuff that I really enjoy playing, and it was kind of fun to put it all together, so didn't really overthink it.
Ethan Satiawan, who's with us in studio today playing mandolin and octave mandolin, produced the record. Mm-hmm. And Ethan, can you talk a little bit about that production process? Have you produced other records before for other folks?
I guess this was the first record that I produced for somebody else, and not for a band that I was a part of, but although of course I'm playing on the record too, so it was kind of in that boat anyway. But yeah, I mean, I just, like, you know, with producing, you're hopefully just trying to make everybody feel comfortable and play as they generally do, which was easy with this group of people who are all great musicians, as Louise says. And besides that, it was just kind of thinking about the tunes and maybe adding a couple ideas here and there of how to make everything flow and make everything work with everybody playing. And then with some overdubs, kind of coordinating that and making sure all of that kind of gelled together just right. Yeah, just trying to make everything work.
How did that idea come about that you would produce the album?
I don't know. How did it come about?
I don't know. I mean, he was already playing on it and recording it and mixing it. Why not also produce it? I don't remember.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, just...
He's good at the ideas.
Coming up with stuff, making it all, yeah. Trying to make it all gel.
So can you dive into that a little bit deeper? Like, what is it about making it all gel that's so creatively rewarding for you as a musician?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like what I would get into with this batch of tunes was to kind of try to take the melodic material that either Louise wrote or we were pulling from these traditional tunes or other people's tunes and try to craft an arrangement that like expands on the tunes without losing sort of the thing that makes the tune itself. I guess like that Lost Summer intro riff that we were talking about just a little bit ago, that syncopated figure, is sort of just echoing the melody in the A part there that Louise comes in with eventually. Or there are some other examples across the record of where certain chords follow the melody, or sometimes they don't follow the melody to create contrast, but trying to like pull ideas from the melodies, from the tunes themselves, to create arrangements that hold interest, hopefully.
When you talk about holding interest, and this is such a vague concept, but what is it about retaining the melody that you think is good in this kind of traditionally rooted music, instead of going off into wandery improv world where you lose the tune? Like, what is so valuable about that in traditionally rooted music?
Well, I guess you're really getting into what makes traditional music, folk music, as opposed to sort of like program music or concert music, which like this kind of music sort of sits on the edge between anyway, because we're often playing it for concerts, for listening audiences, as opposed to dances or as like a communal activity, which is sort of folk music. But, you know, the tunes, like we've chosen to play the tunes for a reason. Louise chose the tunes, you know, with a lot of thought and put a lot of care into that decision. And sort of that's my way of honoring that idea with the arrangements, to kind of, try to at least... There's plenty of improvisation on the record too, but trying to, create something that honors the tune first and foremost.
Here with Louise Bicken, Ethan Satioan, Connor Hearn, and Brendan Hearn, live in studio, getting into the weeds of this new album, The Lost Summer. And we've got time for a couple more tunes. What would you like to play next?
What would we like to play next? Let's play some jigs. Let's do something that I didn't write. These are just three really lovely jigs that I really like. First one, my friend Siobhan Anderson wrote, and it's called the Och Jig, which she wrote for her granny. And then we will play a tune from Ireland, from John McSherry, the piper. It's called Skipping Over the Bogs. And then we'll finish with a tune from back home, from Orkney, a traditional older Orkney tune called the Ham Band Tune. So, yeah.
Thank you.
stellar playing from Louise Bicken on fiddle. That's Ethan Satiawan on mandolin, Connor Hearn on guitar, and Brendan Hearn playing the cello live in studio here in my Baltimore living room. And we've got time for one more tune. Before we get to that, I would like to get into some of the links between Scottish music and the origins of old time and what grew into bluegrass. Do you play some old time and bluegrass music?
I love playing old time bluegrass. I am not so versed in. I really enjoy playing old time. It's actually kind of partly what drew me over here in the first place. Funnily enough, I had a friend of mine, a great fiddler, Laura Wilkie, go to Alistair Fraser's Scottish fiddle camp, Valley of the Moon. Just so happened to be the year that Brittany Haas was one of the main tutors. And my friend came back with all these great tunes, and I was like, tell me more. And so I went to Alistair Fraser's fiddle camp looking for old time, which I did find there. That's the thing is, like, all the people that I played music with there, and including these two brothers right here who I met at that very fiddle camp, a lot of people there were playing old time in the jam sessions and things. And so that was my first little taste of it. And I ended up deciding that I wanted to know more and wanted to expand my musical world just in a lot of ways, and so I decided to come and study at Berklee in Boston, and was so lucky to study with Bruce the whole 4 years. I learned a little clawhammer banjo, which was so much fun, one of my favorite instruments, and just so happens to be one that you play beautifully.
Thank you.
I'm very into old time, and I'm always curious to hear more about these connections with old time, like sitting in an old time class with Bruce and he'd play a tune and be like, this is Roscoe's Waltz. And like, no, it's the Muckin' of Geordie's Byre, but you're playing it wrong. But those connections to music are just really curious to me. I'm always fascinated by how music travels.
When you listen to old time, what do you hear in the sound and the groove and the rhythm of old time that reminds you of Scottish music, if anything?
I mean, often it's like just hearing these melodies that are similar, but I think just the whole like aspect of just getting together to play music together, because it's such a fun thing to do and you're connecting with each other on this different level to just, you know, having pints in the pub. And that, you know, that kind of thing, I that side of it is what attracts me the most, I think. And I love in old time that you play the tune so many times that you have the opportunity to actually pick the tune up if you didn't already know it, and kind of get into that space where everything, you feel sort of in this like zone, almost like you're mesmerized or something. I don't know. And that is really fun to me. And often in some of the sessions in Scotland, you only have two times to play through a tune and then they've moved on to the next one. But I used to live in Glasgow, and some of the sessions there, that we did get into that territory of like playing a tune many times and, you know, playing with different variations and things, and that was always fun. And I guess that kind of relates in a way, but yeah, I love old time a lot. I love the instruments you find in old time as well. I love clawhammer banjo, I love hammer dulcimer, and like just so fun to play.
You have some tremendous guests on this record. You mentioned hammer dulcimer. Simon mm-hmm. Chrisman, great dulcimer player, is on there. And can you tell us about who else is on this record? You've got a whole cast of characters.
Yeah, I mean, there's this guy from Baltimore called Brad Kolodny.
Oh, overrated.
Yeah, it was a real honor to have you on it, and Simon on Delting Side and Squirrel Hunters, which will maybe play for you next. But Dan Klingsberg, brilliant bass player, also currently a Baltimore resident. He played some double bass on a couple tracks. Last summer I was lucky enough to, the kind of final missing pieces of the puzzle, I got to go home and play two extra tracks, one with my cousin Alice Tate on the fiddle and with Jennifer Austin on piano for a couple, and it was just in Jen's living room, and we recorded two more tracks, which was really special to play with them again after a bunch of years of not getting to do that. And then my good friend Ali Lovac plays whistle on a track as well, and he's just an absolute killer whistle player, and it was just an honor to have him just do this incredible whistle solo over the last summer. So yeah, very lucky.
The new album's called The Lost Summer. Thanks to Louise for joining us here in studio. Where can folks learn more about your music and pick up and listen to the record?
It's all over the interwebs. Louisebicken.co.uk, that's B-I-C-H-A-N, is my website, and you'll find it on there and all on Bandcamp. And if you look up Adi Europa Records as well, they're selling it over there. So yeah, it's all on the streaming too.
Well, thanks so much for carving out time to be with us and play some music live in studio. Take us out with one more.
All right. Thanks for having us on. We'll finish with Deltingside and Squirrel Hunters. Deltingside is a tune from Shetland, really old traditional tune, and Squirrel Hunters, an old-time tune that I thought could be maybe a distant cousin. Who knows?